2540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. We begin with breaking news at this hour. A magnitude 4.3 earthquake has been recorded 31 miles southeast of San Jose, California. The quake was detected about 12 minutes ago, so there have been no reports of injuries or damage yet. Reaction to Israel's killing of longtime Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah Friday has been furious, even far from the Middle East, in Sydney, Australia.
Hands off Lebanon!
Israel isn't letting up in its attacks on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. Israeli fighter jets have been hitting sites in the country this morning. The BBC's Hugo Bachega is hunkering down in Beirut.
There is a tense, anxious wait here in Beirut and also across Lebanon. I think people want to see how Hezbollah is going to respond. Obviously, you know, the leadership of Hezbollah has been decimated. Hezbollah has been weakened by almost 2 weeks of intense Israeli airstrikes.
Hurricane Helene has killed dozens of people across multiple states, and more than 3 million customers are still without electricity at this hour, from Florida to Ohio. This woman is in Madeira Beach, Florida.
Everything is like a war zone.
CBS's Jason Allen is also in Florida.
Helene delivering the knockout punch to Keaton Beach, still recovering from two brutal hurricanes over the past 13 months.
What do we do now? What do we keep? Do we continue to do this?
Spy Abajeris returned to find the lower level of his home ripped away by wind and water. Taylor County officials estimate 90% of homes in Keaton Beach are gone.
Estimates of damage range up to $26 billion. The Republican and Democratic vice presidential nominees are days away from their first and only debate, says CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz met Michigan fans rooting for a win against his home state university. Walz is spending the rest of the weekend preparing for Tuesday's first and only debate against Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance. The Ohio senator is also getting ready for the debate following appearances yesterday in Pennsylvania.
We got to fire Kamala Harris and not give her a promotion.
Actress Maya Rudolph brought back her interpretation of Vice President Kamala Harris on last night's 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live on NBC.
I am so happy to be campaigning in whatever swing state I'm in, which I will just refer to as Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia.
SNL debut, that is, on October 11th, 1975. Top story of the hour, a magnitude 4.3 earthquake occurred 31 miles southeast of San Jose, California. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Artificial intelligence is controversial, but Wisconsin Technical College students are learning with the help of AI. Educators say it will prepare them for the careers of the future. Mike Moan reports.
Layla Merrifield, president of the Wisconsin Technical Colleges System, says manufacturers are making it clear they want a workforce that has the know-how in working with and programming machinery fitted with AI. She says that's why the system is integrating it with coursework at regional campuses.
Here in Wisconsin, we really have a structural workforce shortage, and our demographics are telling us that that will continue. And what we're seeing, it's really upskilling the workforce.
Elected officials face pressure to adopt regulations that would ensure artificial intelligence is used safely. Merrifield says schools in Wisconsin prioritize teaching students how to use AI ethically and appropriately. An analysis from the Center for Security and Emerging Technology says community and technical colleges have the potential to grow and sustain the AI talent pool, but barriers like inconsistent government funding need to be addressed. Merrifield says Wisconsin's campuses are coming off modest general aid increases from the legislature. She says they'll be requesting more in the next budget cycle. They also have to balance tuition affordability.
We understand that our students often come from limited means. They have limited financial resources, and so we try to keep tuition as low as possible.
And whether it's AI curriculum or other courses, Merrifield suggests they need the right amount of support to stay nimble and retool programming based on workforce trends. Waukesha County Technical College is one of the schools offering a class where students learn about the foundations of AI. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny skies for today. The big story, though, that breezy north wind gusting up around 30 miles per hour. That will cause some large waves there along the shoreline. High temperatures in the lower 70s. For the overnight, mostly clear, lower 60s. It's 57 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by NACDI's Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Program. Join them this week for Phillips Farms Bike Tour in South Minneapolis on September 28th from noon to 4 p.m. You're going to be learning about locally grown foods and share a meal. Learn more and sign up for this free event at NACDI.org/events.
Wow, that's great. Hey, so we got Dr. Stately on later, and we got things to talk about here, Haley. Haley, you were at my nanny and your Gaga's house, or where was this taking
this
place?
This was at my house.
Your house? Oh, yes. So you had to clean up the mess afterwards.
Yeah, bigger kitchen, bigger TV for that Vikings win yesterday. Yeah, we got to learn Gaga Barb's famous fry bread recipe, which is actually great-grandma Helen's famous fry bread recipe.
Wow, there's some secrets in that recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the native amount of ingredients get added. So we were learning, and I was like, "Well, Gaga, how much of this?" And she goes, "Oh, just a little bit of that, or a tablespoon to a teaspoon of this." So it just kind of trial and error, but it turned out really well. It was golden, crispy on the outside, fluffy and pillowy and soft on the inside, perfect brown color. It was good fry bread.
That's awesome. And so we know the Ho-Chunks have that really good fry bread, which I'm not a big fan. I don't eat a lot of it, but I do try it out because I'm a bread hound, period. So
Same. Love that bread. We usually do like tacos, taco toppings on top. And that's where I've had most like Indian tacos or fry bread tacos, is with all the tacos on top. But I've seen more people do kind of desserts with it, like powdered sugar and strawberries and blueberries. So I'm going to have to try that next time. But
yeah, that's good. Definitely. Yeah. But
well, speaking of good food, do you know what's happening this week? It has to do with the Four Sisters Farmers Market.
The pickle.
Yeah, good guess.
Oh, I won't be here for the first time. I'll be in New York, which is a bummer.
Okay, so we definitely have to rule you out as a pickle contest judge.
Right, exactly. Plus, I'm delicate, and I know a lot of people like them a little spicy, and I like them a little sweeter.
Mm-hmm. So they do have a range of pickles that people enter in the contest, but
I just think the word pickles is kind of funny.
Pickle? It's like nickel? I don't know.
No.
We have pickles at Powo's all the time. The jumbo pickles?
I just like the word pickles. Yeah, when is that, and how does that work out?
Yeah, so this is at NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, and Indian Health Board. This is their third annual Pickle Off. So it'll be taking place this Thursday, September, this Thursday, when the date is for that. But from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Four Sisters Farmers Market, which is the Powwow Grounds parking lot in Minneapolis, 1414 East Franklin Avenue. They're going to be, it's kind of focusing around the Four Sisters Food Sovereignty and Preservation Month of foods that are grown locally in gardens. So the Pickle Off is kind of learning about the act of curing and pickling and drying, freezing and canning different kinds of food. So it's very educational as well as trying some locally grown pickles.
Well, we'll have to bring that up later this week, too, because that's really cool. And again, I think the word pickle is a funny word, so I chuckle every time I say it or hear it.
I kind of agree. But yes, this Thursday, September 26th, and the pickle event will start at noon.
Is that what it's called, the Pickle Off?
Yeah, the Pickle Off. Pickle-themed giveaway, free pickle face paint, pickle tasting, and, oh, pickle lemonade.
Oh, that's an interesting combo. Yeah. Hey,
did they have that at the state fair?
Somewhere.
Okay.
Somewhere. They had pickle pizza, which was overrated, and there was a line around the block 24/7 for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and it was a little teeny booth, too. It was crazy, but I don't know. Some people got the word out there on these TV shows, local TV shows, and there was a line around the block, try out the new thing at the state fair, and it was pickle pizza. Which is two funny words.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard that was pretty good, too. Well, yeah. How was your weekend? I know you were doing some traveling.
Yeah, I was at General Council in the Wisconsin Dells. Our tribe is fourth government, is the General Council, which is the people that speak. Really, really fun seeing a lot of relatives, that I haven't seen in a while. And it was good for that, and things turned out well, and, the fourth government of the nation was there, and they had enough people who, made quorum, and, it's part of being Ho-Chunk is checking out the general council and being there, so it's pretty fun and pretty exciting, and again, it's about the people. There was so many people that I know and respect and that we're related to that I got to see. So that was good medicine.
Awesome. Yeah, always is to go see relatives who you normally don't get to see because, distance, right, and everything like that.
Yeah, part of it was good medicine. So wait a minute now. I saw that you saw a buffalo or a bison, or which was it, a bison or a buffalo?
Well, we could use those words, buffalo or bison, or if we want to get technical and speak some Ho-Chunk, we could say Chef G. Ooh. Or since we're on Dakota land here in Minnesota, we could say Tatanka.
Right on there, Haley.
Thank you. Kini right. Gigi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I love going to see him. I live kind of east metro of St. Paul, so I'm a bit closer to Afton. It's the Bellwin Conservancy place out there in Afton. Pretty sure that's what it's called, Bellwin. But yeah, they have a herd of buffaloes out in the field there in the Savannah Conservancy part, and sometimes they're not always visible. I know that they do have a lookout tower for viewing, but it's a pretty big space, so they're not always visible, but I like to go out there and put some tawny down, some tobacco, and yeah, I did that on Friday morning, even though I couldn't see them. And then after I put tobacco down, I drove back out on the main road, and there they were, just laying in the grass right next to the main road.
That's hilarious. You took me a year ago on a bison hunt, and we didn't see any. And the funny thing about Ho-Chunk language, too, is Donnie is not only for tobacco, but it's also the number four, which blows my mind.
In the four.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a reason for why it's used for the number four and also tobacco, like kind of like the four sacred directions or something.
I don't know. That's something that you need to ask your Gaga next time you see her. Quiz her on it.
I will for sure. Well, also, it was the fall equinox. So we're moving into a different season here and time to slow down and reflect and prepare for winter.
Yeah, the squirrels are, and they have, I think the chipmunks are now building a nest into my dryer in the basement. So there's a lot of full peanuts in my dryer and possibly need to get a new one because the motor doesn't seem to be working. But that's what you do when you feed our relatives. They hide their food in the darnest places.
Yep, they love you so much, they just want to come in and live with you at that point.
Rent free.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, we have our friend, Dr. Stately, and we're excited to talk to him. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, they do, and I love that tagline. Hey, we are here with our friend Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately, great to see you. And it's been a while, but it's always great to see you. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio.
Boo-doo. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Right on. Hey, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about a little bit is I just had my general counsel Saturday, and I got my flu shot and my COVID shot. And I felt like I was a little tired after that for a couple days. I'm just kidding. I also had my hearing check too, so I'm going deaf. So just those things that an old person, older, junior, elder like me are going through.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't explain the hearing loss.
What?
I don't think the flu or COVID shot gave you hearing loss, but
yeah. No.
Could be all those years of like listening to your 8-track tape players really loud in your car while you were like speeding around.
Well, they did ask me if I was a truck driver because my left ear is worse than my right ear. And I'm going, like maybe before I had air conditioning back in the day, I stuck my head out the window when it was hot.
Oh, maybe. Or you rolled down the window and so like all the
icicles and moisture grew something in my ear.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you got like vermin in there and they built a nest.
Well, I was definitely happy that they didn't have to do any drilling, that I had been cleaning my ears properly all these years. So things were good in that way. But then again, if I'm not hearing that well, then it's not that good and I don't have an excuse. Like, what is that, wax buildup?
Yeah. I mean, like for a lot of people, especially like, I mean, as you age, typically you're going to end up losing some of your hearing capacity anyway. Like it's just, you know, I think it's generally a aging concern. I remember one time learning this, I read this study. So here you are. Where? What are you, 61? 62?
Three.
63? Oh, okay, cool. God, I'm like, I'm hot on your heels here.
Yeah, and sobriety.
My ears are fine, by the way, just so you know. So I don't know, it's explanatory. But here's the thing that's interesting is, did you know that there was a study that was done a few years ago? They found that women lose their ability to hear sort of lower tone sort of frequencies later in life, and men have lose their capacity to hear higher tone frequencies later in life.
Weird.
So this is my theory, that this is the secret to a good long marriage, is that you can't actually hear each other. You can't hear them screech at you and complain. They can't hear you complain. So,
well, I always said that Wendy kind of mumbled to me, and now I know she doesn't. So I hope she's not listening tonight. But yeah.
It's okay. She can't hear the sound of your voice anyway, because you're at a lower
tone. The lower. Yeah. I'm not the one mumbling. But
I mean, in all seriousness, we do lose a little bit of our listening, our hearing function later in life. But like, you should be getting your hearing checked frequently throughout your life, and especially like, so some things I think younger
mm-hmm. You're kind of cutting out for me,
Dr. Stately. You're breaking up a little
out of nowhere. It's not huge, like mine is. Yeah,
you were breaking
Sorry.
Up
are you
a
having
little
a hard time? Are you having a hard time hearing?
Yeah. How ironic. This is like the story of my life.
Ironic, yes. In the words of Alanis Morissette.
Right.
Who I love, by the way. Last time I saw her live was at the Mystic Lake
Theater. Oh, I just saw her. She was here in July.
Yeah, she was amazing. But anyway, so like what's really common, I think, and this is an important thing for your listeners to know. Mm-hmm. If they can hear.
Yeah, we're coming in loud and clear now, which is totally bizarre.
That tinnitus is common, like can be a health concern that shows up fairly earlier in life than it would normally later in life, from like listening to your music really loud. So like, you know how like kids these days, they have those big things on their heads and they're rocking, yeah, like, you know, their rap music or their like country music, for those of us who love country music. That's what I do. I play my country music really loud. And damages your ears to have the decibels that high. Nowadays, some of your technology has like the capacity for you to set settings as safety. I give that to my son's phone so they can't damage their ears. I set their decibel level low or mid. But you know, now we know that these things cause damage. You're seeing younger people in their like 20s and 30s having tinnitus. And it's from like, you know, in your case, like, you know, all those raves you went to when you were younger and like listening to like pounding music.
Mm-hmm. They were fun though. Well, I taught, in all seriousness, I taught drumline in my high school for about 11 mm-hmm. years. And the first 5 years, I didn't wear earplugs because I was cool. But after that, I started wearing them just because I was getting old. But that's
a way. And other people that get injuries, hearing injuries, are like, you know, like you, if you're like, what is it, the jackhammer guys, construction workers, and those kinds of folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also end up with tooth damage from their teeth chattering.
Really? Is that true?
No, I'm joking.
I would have believed that.
That actually only happened on the Flintstones.
Sounds like a Friends episode.
Nobody even on your half of the people listening to this
don't know the Flintstones podcast,
don't even know who the Flintstones are.
Or Friends for that matter.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Really, I guess we should do a show of how does it feel getting old? Because I'm the one that...
I don't know. You can tell me you're older than me. So, like, please inform me.
Well, I was turning up the TV, and I thought I better get my hearing changed. Or checked.
Both things actually apply.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I asked about the radio show, too, because I wear headphones, but, I can turn it down and whatnot. And she seemed to say that didn't really affect it, just an hour a day. And so I'm okay with that. But I do listen to my
own. When you're walking? You walk a bit, so are you listening to AirPods?
Earbuds.
Earbuds.
Yeah, I turn it up and turn it down, and I try to be mindful that I don't hear any ringing, but then again, I'm losing my hearing, so how could I hear ringing if I don't have hearing?
Good question.
I should crack myself up.
I thought ringing in your ears meant spirits were trying to talk to you.
I think that's a good explanation for it.
Yeah. I thought that was when your ears were burning, someone was talking about you.
Yeah.
Or your nose was itching.
I always thought that. That's what I always heard too. Like, oh, my ears were ringing and somebody's talking about you. And, and then you ask and they're like, oh, well, actually, yes, I was just talking about you. I was like, oh, that's not true. So that's, I think, what is that called? Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Well, we manifest our things.
How did you feel after you did your COVID shot?
No, I felt good, but when I was driving home, because I got it Saturday morning, and then I was driving home around, I got home around 10:30, so I was driving for 3 hours from the Dells. I started getting the chills, and I thought the house was cold, and then I turned my fan off and went to sleep. But yesterday was the second day, and it was funny because, Wendy's in New York right now, and I woke up at 6 in the morning with my glasses on and my hands and my phone, and this TikTok was playing over and over and over again. So I must have been sleeping for 8 hours.
Listening to the same TikTok over and over.
Yeah. Had dreams.
Dare I ask what the TikTok topic was?
I don't even remember. It's probably a Trump thing or something.
I'm addicted to a couple of TikToks. Like, I watched the comedian Matt Rife over and over and over because he's really funny in a lot of inappropriate ways. He's really funny, so I would say don't let your kids listen to them and listen to him, but he's pretty funny, and I like him a lot. And
our friend our friend Jace is really shook because he's really shook because of one of big fan of Janet Jackson, and really lets down.
I commented on his Facebook post today, or some post he mentioned about that Janet was, somebody said it in his post, she's sounding a little like a Rumpian.
I know. And then the next post, he was selling all his Janet Jackson stuff. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't even sell them. I just throw them out the window. I have CDs, so, they could go sailing, but. Nobody has CDs anymore either.
Well, for some reason, I think a few years ago, there was a picture of those two. I don't know if he had a meet and greet, if he paid for that, but huge fan.
I know that they've had she invited him to a concert. They met somehow, but I happen to like her a lot as a performer, but I don't necessarily think every performer that I like necessarily has the same politics as me. But I found it shocking and surprising that she would say the things that she said about Kamala.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll be right back. We're with Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. Now comes the cleanup from the deadly Hurricane Helene. Much of Richard Rust's home in Atlanta is underwater.
We don't know if we're going to need to move out. We don't know if we're going to need to lift the house. So, that sort of the uncertainty is is more anxiety sort of producing.
President Biden and Vice President Harris have welcomed the news that the longtime leader of Hezbollah was killed in an Israeli airstrike. Reporter Linda Grantstein is in Jerusalem.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Hassan Nasrallah was an arch terrorist responsible for the deaths of innumerable Israelis and hundreds of Americans.
An asteroid about the size of a house comes near our planet today. It'll stick around for 56 days, says astronomer Phil Plait.
It never really goes all the way around the Earth. It's only partially going to go around the Earth before it starts to orbit the sun again.
If you miss it, the asteroid will be back around 30 years from now. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Jordan Love returns. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain, Love will take over at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Love said he had been moving around better in practice this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting better every day. Moving around, getting out there and practicing, things like that is feeling better.
Love added he worked hard to get back for today's border battle.
I've been trying to get back as fast as I can, no matter who the opponent was. But definitely, I mean, you look at this week and NFC North opponent, a 3-0 team, really good team, so it would definitely mean a lot to be able to get back and push myself to get back for this game.
Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon. USC dominated Wisconsin football in the second half yesterday, putting up 28 points in the second half to stun the Badgers 38-21. Wisconsin has dropped two in a row and hosts Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kick. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, with a 6-0 shutout Saturday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny skies for today. The big story, though, that breezy north wind gusting up around 30 miles per hour. That will cause some large waves there along the shoreline. High temperatures in the lower 70s. For the overnight, mostly clear, lower 60s. Right now, it's 55.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agri-Fab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. Roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and terrorists, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Then we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Met Council. They're asking for your help to shape the future of the Twin Cities. Join them this Wednesday at 5 p.m. for Imagine 2050, a regional planning event focused on improving housing, transportation, parks, and water resources. Share your ideas and help create a better Twin Cities. Visit engage.metrocouncil.org to learn more.
Well, the Met Council, I'm on the advisory board, the Native American advisory board, and I'm totally blown away by all the things that they do in the cities. You know, we talked about that last time, Haley. It's just amazing what they got, what they oversee, you know, from sewage going into the river to parks and names of parks and all these things. And, of course, light rail, that's always in the news. But amazing, very amazing. And I just want to say to Santina, she said, sorry, I'm late. She was watching Echo. That's a good reason to be late, Santina. And we always appreciate you commenting and listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're here with our friend, Dr. Stately. And I was talking my woes over to Dr. Stately. But of course, I couldn't hear half of them because I'm going deaf. But oh, that's sad. You know, we talked a little bit about Jace and the situation. I feel there's people out there predicting that this is going to be a landslide, and we need it to be a landslide. And then we're going to have new bumpers from the governor and the new governor here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think that it feels to me like every other week, you know, the pundits, as you like to call them, are the people who sort of kind of deliver this information to us. And, you know, they have robust jobs that, you know, discussing the nature of politics. I think one of the things I always tell people, because I think about young people. I think, like, when I was newly 18 and I can't remember who was running back then, 79, it would have been
Reagan
and yeah, and you know, I think like one of the things I remember thinking is like, oh, like, you know, Carter's the incumbent, and the incumbents always win. They have the, you know, they're like, and it was an upset, and Reagan. And I remember like being 18 years old and thinking like, I don't have to vote. This isn't all that important, you know, those kinds of things, and feeling assured that like, you know, Carter was going to win again, and then Reagan won, and like, you know. From the time I was 18 or 19 years old to the time I was 24, or I think Reagan was in office for two terms,
eight
right?
8 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, 8 years. It was the worst 8 years of my life. Sorry, pardon my.
Whoa. I hope we caught that.
Get that button. But, you know, I turned 18 in 20 in 82. Or no, in 80, I turned, so the like the first year of his presidency, all the way through 1988, when he finally was, you know, lost the grip on his reins. During that period of time, I lived in Los Angeles, and I landed there in the middle of the HIV epidemic. Like, my friends were dropping like flies, dying of AIDS, within weeks of getting diagnosed of those things. I, of course, also was at risk, great risk for that. But also, like, it was just like, you know, him and Margaret Thatcher, they were like pretty much cut from the same cloth. And they were like, you know, they called her the Iron Queen and a few other. And I think the thing was, is that like, he went a good 8 years without ever uttering the word AIDS in his entire,
yep.
Right? Meanwhile,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, it finally became a thing that you could talk about after, like, you know, a young boy who was white and who was heterosexual and a child got AIDS, and all of a sudden it became something to talk about.
But or Rock Hudson was.
Yeah, Hudson or hundreds of thousands of people had to die first. It's like, that's crazy making. So, like, I think about that as I was a young person. Had I known, had I thought, like, so this is, I think, the thing that's important here is to, like, I've been trying to tell all the young people I know, like, did you register to vote? Are you going to vote? Like, get out and vote, because it's really critical that you be part of the decision making here, because a president, the wrong person in office, could completely reshape your life and the lives of the people that you love and you care about. And if you stand on the sideline, you really don't have, I mean, you don't really have a whole lot of legs to stand on to complain about the outcome.
You know, this show started because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation. Mm-hmm. And the second day Trump was elected, he wrote a presidential whatever and started drilling again in Standing Rock. The second day.
So, yeah.
Us natives out
I remember sitting in my hotel room in Standing Rock, the 2 weeks before the election, like it would have been mid-October. Yeah. I was hired as the executive officer of NAC, but I hadn't started yet. I started in December. And I was fairly confident when I was sitting in that hotel room watching the debate, thinking like, she's handing him his A, you know, and she's like, and I'm being really confident and, you know, those kinds of things. And then, like a lot of other people probably like, oh, this is, you know, and she did, she won the popular vote, but like, you know, she lost with the electorate. And I think the thing is that people sometimes get too confident and they think, oh, this is going to happen for sure. Those kinds of things. And so they don't show up or they don't follow through on their civic duties and or they just kind of assume somebody else is going to take care of it, you know. And I don't make a tremendous amount of money, but I've been given, you know, the Democrats and also, you know, the party who I belong to and also the presidential run. I've been giving them about, you know, a good $25 or $50 a week for the last several weeks as a sustained and supporter because I want them to do well. And I plan to take the day off of election day so I can make sure I get there because I get to the office and I think, oh, I'll go when I get off and I'm exhausted. All the reasons why we don't do the thing we do. And you can do all kinds of things now, like early voting. Those are all really important things to do. But I think one of the things I remember sitting in that thing feeling very confident that she was going to win and we're going to prevail with Standing Rock and all those other things. And like, fairly rapidly in rapid succession, things unraveled, right? And also it was my first year as the executive officer of NAC, a federally qualified healthcare center. And I remember him like kicking the community health center FQHC funding mechanism down the road, doing a continuing resolution and like threatening not to sign the bill, not invest in community health, all those things for like the first 6 months of my tenure at NAC. And like we were facing a fiscal cliff and that award, that federal award, funded like a good third of our organization. And I was like, we're like a three-legged stool here. Like he's going to rip one of our legs out and we won't be able to operate anymore. So right. I was like, it was like, he was the bane of my existence in 2017 for a good, like 4 years after that. So
well, there was reports, too, and I think our friend Heather Keeler mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that Hillary was as far ahead as Harris is right now. And what she was saying is that we need, like you said, we don't have to, you know, I don't have to vote. Wendy and I are voting early, and we're going to definitely try and help people get out to the polls after that. And
we cannot be overly confident. We cannot rest on our laurels, right? This is like, there's too much to lose in this particular election, right? Mm. I mean, the man has already told us, like, you know, foreshadowed all the things that he intends to do. He's going to weaponize the, you know, the Department of Justice to go after all of his, all of the people who, you know, didn't support him earlier, like all of his enemies, quote unquote. He's going to, you know, he's going to try to do a national ban on abortion and also birth control, like not making birth, like what, right? It's just like insane the things that he's planning to do. And like, you can't get on the website, the 2025 website anymore and get that information or 2025 plan. But, you know, there's some earlier some people have copied those things and posted it on Facebook. Yeah. He has a plan for America for 2025, and it isn't looking good for anybody who's not white and anybody who isn't white, and specifically white men,
right?
And specifically white men who happen to be billionaires. Yeah. So if you fall into any other category other than that, right,
look out.
You're not going to end up doing well post-election.
Exactly. So I think we've learned in that we keep talking about it here and talking about it to our relatives. He's going to have the same 59, 55 million people voting for him. And mm-hmm. we're in broadcast all over Wisconsin too, Dr. Stately. And one of the things that's always brought up there too, is it's 20,000 votes in all the district. That means three people in each district need to vote a certain way to change the mm-hmm. whole election here in the country. So your vote does yeah. matter.
Yeah, your vote does matter. I mean, I remember growing up as a young person and hearing like my relatives say things like, oh, I'm not going to vote. My vote doesn't matter. And then I was like, you know, I had that experience I talked about early in my early young adult. And I was like, well, after that, I started voting regularly and consistently. I vote in every single election, whether it's a presidential election or not, because like, I think the other thing that people don't think about, and here's the thing that's really, really important, is that people have to remember, like, the president is one branch of the government. And you got you got Congress and the Senate, right? You got Congress, and then you got legislative. And like, the guy that ends up in that office, or the person that ends in that office, over the next 4 years, gets to decide who's going to be on the Supreme Court. So like, deciding mm-hmm. big cases, we've seen the evidence that they are sort of leaning towards very, very highly conservative, and like, you know, they protect that guy.
Right.
And then the Senate, they pass laws. They decide who's going to go up for, who's going to get forward. Remember when the Senate was locked a couple of years ago, and we tried to advance people, Obama tried to advance people into the, onto the federal bench, and they blocked every single one of the nominations. It's like, yeah, people have to remember, like, the president is important, but so are all these other downstream things. So you got to vote in every single election. If you want to do your civic duty and you want to be engaged and you want to have some say in how your life meets out as a citizen, you got to show up and you got to bring yourself and you got to bring your vote, and you also have to bring your opinion. And don't be afraid to talk to your relatives, and don't be afraid to talk to your neighbors about it. The worst thing that they can do, I suppose, is, you know, yell back at you or argue with you, possibly punch you, but then, you know, there's
keep your distance. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately. I think the next segment we're going to talk about social studies being taught from a very young age, because we need to engage our and educate our young people, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The Shaw, WAUK.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I could barely hear my...
That sounds more like an owl than a wolf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I can't look at an owl and cry. You know what that means. But that's a different show. A whole episode. So we're here with Dr. Stately. Yeah, I forgot what I was doing there for a second. We're here with Dr. Stately, and we're talking about a lot of different things, as we usually do. It's great to catch up with Dr. Stately, a Native American community clinic CEO, and we talk about a lot of great things here. And one of the things I mentioned when we were going off air is I'd really like to see, and I've talked to some politicians locally about really, you know, learning civics at a young age and not be afraid of that. You know, I'm at that age, 63, where I can talk to the governor, the soon-to-be vice president, and the soon-to-be governor, lieutenant governor, as people, just go up and BS with them. You know, but when I was in my 20s, I put these people up on a big pedestal and was afraid of them and, you know, had preset notions. But they're people, too, and anybody can get involved. And I really liked your talk, too, Dr. Stately, about all these elections are important for a lot of different reasons. I mean, we didn't care who the lieutenant governor was. We'd have a different governor coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and I think the other thing I want to kind of just say to your listenership, it's like readership. I like to say your readership, but nobody's reading it.
That's okay. Just don't swear. That's all right.
I know. God, I'm going to get the FCC after me.
They bleeped it out. It was awesome.
About that.
Patrick's on it.
Yeah. There's a rap song about that. But I was just, you know, I think it's important that we understand that, like, 4 years ago, and actually she's like 6 years ago now, because she's in, like, they were reelected 2 years ago, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So 4 years ago when we first elected the lieutenant governor, and I want to remind people, like, you know, like, Native people showed up in mass. And we swung the vote that year in so many ways. We elected this the most Native people to state offices, not just the lieutenant governor, but also senators and representatives than we have done in history, right? And so I think part of it is like important to understand, like, you know, the significance of showing up and voting. Because it's a, you know, like, I think it's kind of like the thing that my family, you know, I grew up listening to, like, you know, older Native people, you know, the really old ones, like, well, you know, the great white father doesn't listen to us, you know, kind of thing. You know, he probably had poor hearing.
Drumline.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, the narrative there being like, well, it's not important to do, it doesn't matter, it falls on deaf ears. And but, you know, the reality of it is that when you utilize your, and you fully engage as a civics civilian, and you engage in things, you show up for conversations at, like, the locals, county and federal level, you go to these things, you know, there's listening sessions. When your representative hosts a community listening session and says, you know, come have coffee with me or donuts or whatever and tell me what you like, those things are really important. You know, look at the impact that it had on, you know, those four people that went and talked to JD Vance and told him about the people eating dogs, right? You know. He said, yeah. He had, on some interview I heard recently, it was like, well, the four or five people that showed up and told me this was happening, you know, I do my job. I think I listen to them and then I bring it up.
Yeah. He also said he has to make stuff up to get people to listen.
Yes. And,
but it's also misinformation.
Creative governance. Yeah.
Well, it stops people talking from Project 2025 too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, I won't lie and say that I did enjoy looking at all the memes and all the GIFs that came out after that. You know, Auntie Jace posted a really cute thing on TikTok about her cat. And
I've seen dogs that the voiceover for that, and the dog's looking, you know, they're talking about something else, and the dog's looking freaked out and neck snapping towards the owner going, what? Cat's running away.
But I mean, like, in all seriousness, like, it is important to show up in those spaces, you know. And
well,
I probably do, actually, if I'm being completely honest, I probably do a much better job of that now in the role that I have and the responsibility I have as a community leader, the responsibility I have for the organization that I run, right? It's like I, over the last 8 years, I'll be at NAC almost 8 years here in December,
wow,
have a much more profound understanding from being in the role that I am and seeing the impact of significant decade over decade over decade of disinvestment in my community, the impact that it has on health. I understand the relationship between elections and voting and health. It's really, really crystal clear to me. Mm-hmm. So if I want to advance and move and protect the health and well-being of my community, I have to show up and vote. If I care about my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, I have to show up and vote today. I have to do it today. Not in 4 years, not in six, not in eight. I got to do it today because so much depends on it.
Amen to that. Yeah. And that we'll be speaking about that on Native Roots Radio forever because it's really, really important. And education's important to know. It's the new fight right now is our educated.
Right.
It's
like Wilma Mankiller said, like the she was famous for saying something of akin, like, the fight for sovereignty is no longer going to be fought on horseback. It's going to be fought in the classrooms across them, across Indian country. So, teach your children, teach your grandchildren about why it's important to vote, why it's important to engage in civic responsibility and in action. Why is it important to protest? Why is it important to speak up? Why is it important to do all of those things? Really, really critically important, right? And then I think the last thing I would just want to say here is I am throwing all my loose change and everything I have at Kamala, except for the four quarters I gave this homeless lady that was standing on the corner the other day, because I want her to win, because I want people to be protected and have our rights. I don't want to go back to what it was like, 8 years ago. I just don't want to do that. And the other thing is, as I want Biden to, pardon and give clemency to Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
And I want him to do it before Kamala gets in because, she's a prosecutor. Who knows what she's going to do, but I think she would support it, but I want... There's no chance of that happening if Trump wins, period.
And there's no chance of moving our Democrats more progressive and pushing them more and having them listen. It's a black and white decision here. Hey, Dr. Stately, can you hold on after the show here? I got to talk to you for a second. And I want to say one thing. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on. It's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to vote, vote, vote. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel says it has killed another senior Hezbollah official in Lebanon, 2 days after it took out Hezbollah's leader. In Belgium, Pope Francis called for peace.
E con tanta preoccupazione, allargamento, intensificazione del conflitto in Libano.
Flooding persists in parts of the southeast now that Hurricane Helene has made her way out of the region. Tom Davis lives in northwest